everyone, and welcome to my 9th podcast. This is Jackie Kunkel for Jackie's Quilting Chronicles. I hope everybody is having a wonderful winter season. Here in Connecticut, it has been a little chilly for my likes, but I'll get through it knowing that spring is on its way. And I know in lots of parts of the U.S. and other countries, there has been some bitter cold and also lots of snow. So I sympathize with you all. And just remember, though, keep on the bright side. This is great weather to be inside quilting up a new quilt. What I would like to talk about today is actually doing just that, part of the makings of a quilt. And part of the makings of a quilt is having the proper quilting tools around when you're doing it. I have some of my own favorites that I'd like to talk about, and if they aren't something that you've used, maybe you might want to try them. I have to have a disclaimer right here. I am not an endorser for any of these products. They just happen to be some of my favorite products to utilize, and some which I'm currently utilizing, some which I use all the time, too, with every project. So, I guess the most obvious one, first and foremost, is to have a sewing machine that is in very good working order. If you don't have a new machine, that's okay. Just make sure that you get your machine serviced and cleaned so that it continues to run smoothly while you're doing your favorite projects. My favorite machine, I actually have three machines. One that I do use all the time. When that one is not here and it's being cleaned, I use my backup. And the third one, I really don't use a lot. It's just kind of there as your backup to the backup, which kind of sounds silly, but it's there if I ever need it. So if you've never cleaned your machine or never have it serviced, please do, because lint does build up in the bobbin case, and it really can hamper the functioning of your machine. Some machines don't need to be oiled, but some do. Get them in there to your sewing center and have them take a look at it. I think you'll be glad that you do, and it'll keep you going for lots more quilting projects. So that's obviously the biggest tool that I think you're going to need, unless, of course, you are a hand piecer. But anyway, so moving on, there's one little tool that isn't quite so obvious, and I absolutely love this tool. And I found out about it because I was taking a class with Judy Niemeyer once, and she uses it all the time, and she recommended it. And since then, I use it actually all the time. It's called That Purple Fang, THANG. It's a really inexpensive tool. It's about $3-4 to purchase. It is a purple, it's just what it is. It's a purple fang. It looks kind of like a stiletto. It's plastic. It has one end that's pointed and curved a little bit. The other end is flat, and it is the width of a 1/4-inch seam. I use it for multiple things. I use it like a stiletto or like a third hand, sort of, and to kind of help guide fabric through my sewing machine. Sometimes ones that have, might be triangles, so they're hard to kind of hold on to that little end with your finger, but it would be easier to use this to hold on with it. I also use it if I'm turning things inside out. It's a great one because it's plastic. It has a blunt tip on it, so you can get into those corners and make them really nice and crisp. So I like that a lot. And the other end, which is flat and which is also the width of a 1/4-inch seam, it's a great way, a great tool to use to check to make sure your seam is 1/4-inch. And also, it's a great little tool to have as a finger presser, because it has a flat edge, so you can use that instead of your finger to just finger press a seam open. So that's one of my favorite ones that I use all the time. And you can Google that to see where you can find it. But again, it's a really inexpensive tool and I use it all the time. Another tool that we use all the time are rulers. And I'm going to tell you a couple of my favorites. These are actually specialty rulers. They're different than your just normal 6x12 or 6x24. The first one I want to talk about is the Easy Companion Angle Ruler. This one is by Darlene Zimmerman, and it is a fantastic tool when you are making triangles. I currently am working on a project that you can see on my blog, www.cvquiltworks.blogspot.com, that I actually use this in. The project that I'm doing is a project out of Kay Fassett's book. It is a striped quilt, which involves cutting triangles and making them into squares. But the neat thing about this ruler is that it has on it lines for where how wide you would cut your strip, and then you would lay your ruler on top of that and then cut just up one side and the other, and then turn it around to get your other triangle. It's hard to describe, I guess, on a podcast, but if you really want to see what I'm talking about, I do show a picture in my blog post with that ruler in play. It is fantastic. It is definitely a shortcut to making, triangles with templates, definitely, and it's definitely worth the investment if you're doing a lot of that type of work. Another ruler that I like, and I just started using because I recently took a class. I've always wanted to make a Hunter Star quilt, and there's a ruler out there that's called the Rapid Fire Hunter Star Ruler. It's by Deb Tucker. I think it's Studio 180. You could Google that as well. Her method of making a Hunter Star is basically strip pieced, but by using this ruler, you can cut the trapezoids and the diamonds with great ease. She has gone and figured it all out for you, all the math. The lines on the ruler are fantastic. I took the first class on Tuesday, and I want to tell you, if you're ever thinking of making a Hunter Star quilt, this is definitely the way to go. No fuss, no must, and very little waste when you're using this ruler. So it's a definite to use this one. One of the other tools that I like to use, and it kind of goes in concert with these two rulers, is I love InvisiGrip. And I don't know if you've ever heard of it. It's by OmniGrid. And especially for rulers like this, most specialty rulers don't have anything grippy on the back of them, and they tend to slide around a lot. InvisiGrip is your answer to not having your ruler slide around. It is a clear film that's made by OmniGrid, and you cut it just a little smaller than the size of your ruler, the size and shape of your ruler, and it basically just sticks on the back. There's no adhesive, so it can be peeled off and on, but it sticks to it. And what happens is when you put a little bit of pressure down on that ruler against the fabric, it doesn't slide. And that is just so key as far as accuracy in cutting your fabric. You won't have any of those, oops, I cut it wrong. Oops, it's a little too short. You won't have that anymore because the ruler is not going to slide around. So this is it comes on a roll. It's a paperback roll. It comes in a roll, and you can get it probably at your local quilt shops, and you can Google it too, I'm sure. But if you've never tried it, and you don't have anything on the back of your rulers, this is great. I prefer it over to those little sandpaper dots because I find that the sandpaper dots actually raise your ruler a little bit up above the fabric. This actually keeps it flush with the fabric, so you don't have that gap in between your ruler and the fabric. So definitely go out and get that. That is a favorite of mine for sure. Another favorite of mine, especially when I'm using specialty rulers, is I know a lot of you have just the regular cutting mats. I have regular cutting mat, but I also have the Ulfa spinning mats. I have the 12-inch size and the 17-inch size, and they're square mats. They're the green ruler, but the difference between these and a regular mat is that they spin around. So if you're using a specialty ruler and it's kind of hard to cut at a certain angle, like across the top or across the one side, you don't even have to move your fabric and your ruler. You just keep it there and you turn the mat around till you get it to an angle where you can cut the rest of that fabric off. They are invaluable, especially when you're doing that kind of work with specialty rulers or even template type rulers. Invaluable tool to have around. If you don't have one, that might be one you want to put on your birthday list or your Christmas list to get, for sure. Another thing, and I hate to admit this, for sure, I hate to admit it, but you know, we all kind of make boo-boos. And one of the things that I always have with me is a seam ripper. That is definitely invaluable to have around. If you don't have one, get one. What I suggest, my favorite seam ripper is actually a Clover seam ripper. It has a nice kind of fat ergonomic type handle. It feels good in my hand. There are some out there that are smaller. There are some bigger. There's tons of different seam rippers out there. But what you need to do when you're looking for one, find one that feels good in your hand, and get it. It's a small investment, and trust me, you'll use it. I hate to say that. You will use it. I've used mine more than I care to think, but I am a perfectionist, and I hate to say that. If something's just not right, I will go ahead and rip it out and redo it. So have one around with you at your side all the time. Another interesting gadget is called the chain ripper, and it kind of looks like a seam ripper, but it's not. It's a little, you can even actually probably make one yourself. I've seen people make them. This one actually is, it's got a circular base. It's purple, circular base, and it's got a little hole in the center. And the base is on the heavier side to keep it steady. And then what goes in that little hole in the center is a modified, and I say modified because it really does look like a seam ripper. It's a modified seam ripper, and it goes upright. So it's sticking up out of that hole. And so when you're chain piecing, you know how you get your scissors out and you snip the threads in between? Well, instead of doing that, you just take your chain and you lay the thread over top of the chain ripper and it splits it. And you go to the next one and it splits it. So you never have to use the scissors again. It's a great little gadget to have right next to your sewing machine. So you zoom right through those chains and then you snip, 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 and they're all apart. So that's a really cool little tool, and it's pretty inexpensive too. By the way, all of these, I know Christmas just was a month ago, but these are all great little stocking stuffers too for that quilter in your life. But I love that little chain ripper. So that's my recommendation. One of the other things, and you know, I think we all tend to forget about these because we use them all the time, is your rotary cutter. But not so much the rotary cutter, more the blade. I was cutting fabric the other day. I was cutting out a pattern, and you know, as the blade dulls, you tend to press harder and harder on your rotary cutter, and that can sometimes cause soreness in your arm and your hand. But what you're not realizing is that the blade is actually dull at that point. And I am so guilty of this too. I forget. So always have spare rotary blades on hand, because I literally just changed my rotary blade. I think it was 2 days ago, and changed it to a new blade. And oh my gosh, what a difference. I didn't have to put nearly as much pressure on that fabric when I was cutting it. So I highly recommend having so many on hand for you so that you're not hurting yourself. I do have an arm and a shoulder problem, and I can tell you that it acts up big time when the blade on my rotary blade is dull because I know I'm pressing harder on it, and I tend to forget until my shoulder and my arm start screaming at me that something's not right. So then I say, oh, geez, I need to, you know, maybe if I change that rotary blade. So it does ease up on that pressure that you're putting on that rotary cutter. So definitely have some of those lying around. One of the biggest things that I think a quilter needs, and I would think that a lot of you probably agree with this, is adequate lighting. I can't stress that enough. And I have to say, as I get older, I find that I need more light, especially when I'm doing fine work. At my sewing station where I have my sewing machine, I actually have two tabletop lights there over, you know, next to my sewing machine on one side and then over top of it. So it gives me more light to see what I'm doing. And I can tell you, it really, really does make a huge difference. They're both the, one of them is an Otlight and one is a daylight, but they use those daylight bulbs, I'm sure that you're all familiar with. If you don't have one, I highly, highly suggest thinking about investing in one. You won't know until you actually have one what a difference it actually makes. I can't tell you, when you're doing the type of work that we do and we enjoy what we're doing, it gets even more enjoyable when you can actually see it and feel more comfortable. My husband and I were in restaurant the other day. I'm sure some of you are familiar with the Cheesecake Factory, and it was probably about 6 o'clock, and it was, you know, because it's wintertime, it's darker out, and it gets dark around here at like 4:15, which I can't stand, but anyway, so it's dark outside, so we go in the restaurant, and they have their lights dimmed really low, and really, when I first opened that menu, I had such a hard time seeing it. I was surprised. You know, and then eventually my eyes adjusted, but it was dark for me. And just having that little extra bit of light to help you out is so worth it. Don't strain your eyes if you don't have to. But anyway, there's one other, and I didn't talk about it. Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't talk about this one. These are my favorite pins of all times. A good friend of mine, Erica, she turned me on to these pins, and I love them. I love them. My family has given them to me in my stockings. I have several packs of them on my own. They are a clover pin. They are long, they are narrow, they are called clover quilting pins. They're very fine, so they glide through your fabric like butter. They have little glass heads on them. They're green and orange glass heads, and they come in a little box, but they are clover. And I think they're around $10 a box of them, but they are so, so worth the money. I don't use any other pin now because they're so fine. They don't hardly make a dent in your fabric. They really hold your fabric together, and so worth it. I think I have about 4 boxes of them. And you know, pins do get lost over time, so I do go through them, but I try to hoard them because they are my favorite. So those, treat yourself to some nice pins. Those are great to have around. Anyway, I hope I didn't bore you today with all my little gadget and supply list here, but I hope that I've helped you somewhat maybe explore some new tools that you might want to use. Try them out. Really, and I actually, if you have any of your own favorite tools, I would so like to hear from you. You can email me at jackie@cvquiltworks.com. Or you could just go to my website, www.cvquiltworks.com, and you can contact me direct from there. That's no problem. And remember, you can always see what I'm up to. I usually put about 3 or 4 blog posts up a week. You can always see what I'm up to. You can connect to my blog from my website, or you can go direct to my blog as well, www.cvquiltworks.blogspot.com. You can see the latest projects that I'm working on and some neat little things. And definitely don't forget to go look at that one blog post that I did about the striped quilt with the easy companion angle ruler. I think you'll really like that. So until next time, I hope to hear from you, and I wish you the best of the next month, and happy quilting.